Aloha.
Mahalo.
Before we get started, if I could request a fan right here. I mean, I suffer from heat problems, and I'll get worked up, and I'll get the sweating, and pretty soon I'm pounding the lectern, and I'll be giving one of those fire and brimstone. So if I had a fan, that wouldn't happen. The feast in Hawaii went extremely well. There was a few glitches I ran into the first day or 2 days before. It was thankfully went away. The weather was perfect. We had between 550 and 580 in attendance. We didn't quite fill up the hall, but the hall was very comfortable as far as the size and could accommodate us. A couple of years ago, back in 2008, we had 700 or so, and we had overflow. But this year, we had a high of 78, somewhere around there, in attendance. And it was gorgeous. Every morning before service, I would walk on the beach. Every evening, I would walk on the beach, commune with my father. Because I can't do that here. The beach is just too far away. And just walk out, and there it is. It's nice to drive more than 55 miles an hour, too. Most of the time, it was 20, 25, 30, 40. And they gave me this big car with a huge engine, and all I could do is I put it in neutral and vibrate as fast as the speed limit. Just a word about Mr. Bosshard. You know, in Hebrews 9, it says that it's appointed for all of us to die once. And that occurred with Mr. Bosshard. In Isaiah 57:1, I do want to turn to it. We're reminded, I think very nicely, by a faithful father. The righteous perish, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Mr. Bosshart's job was done, and he won't see the trials that are coming on the world to come. He's at rest, he's at peace, and he lived in hope, and now he's living that hope together. So, we're back from the Feast of Tabernacles. We can ask the question, now what? Now what? You just attended 8 days of messages. So, now what? I'm just going to stand here and just say that over and over. No, I'm not. In essence, we went to school. We went to learn from God. We attended 8 days of classes. We listened to 13 messages of various lengths. There was no graduation ceremony at the end of the time. I didn't hear any pomp and circumstance. Nobody graduated. We didn't get the mortar board and the tassel, which I think keeps away flies during the graduation ceremony. Nobody graduated. Nobody has gone to the kingdom of God, have they? We're still here. So now what? Well, we've just finished the latest festival cycle. We've gone through those special days God has set aside for us to focus on something greater than what we see. He wants us to focus on the future. God has given us the festival so that, my favorite phrase, so that we might have the knowledge and hope of tomorrow. Today, the here and now is not all there is. And that's what the festivals told us. Today, the here and now is not all there is. We just returned from the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, the days that represent the peace and joy of the millennium, and the last great day that, well, we will be united with all our family and friends and God the Father. There's a hope in that. There is a hope in that. Sometimes it's hard going through trials and difficulties if there isn't a reasonable hope for something better. If there isn't a reasonable hope that there is something on the other side that is worth what we're going through, we see very clearly that this world offers no hope of peace, no hope of safety, no hope of happiness, nothing lasting. Talk to your coworkers, talk to your neighbors. They aren't hopeful. They are wishful. They wish things were better. They wish there was peace. They wish there was joy. At my company, we received instructions from the vice president. I thought this was interesting. Whenever we make a presentation, whenever we give a status, whenever we give an update or a briefing, we are to stop using phrases that guarantee we're not going to meet performance. We are to get rid of hope to, should be, might make. You see, those are terms guaranteed to allow ourselves, well, we hope to, but we didn't. See, it goes into wishful thinking. These have been identified not as program support with in-depth understanding, but as being an expression of wishful thinking. I think, I hope we make that schedule. I think we might just maybe make cost. These words are now red flags that are guaranteed to give you an opportunity to sit before management and explain yourself. They want realistic and supported data. They don't want wishful management. We engage in hope, all of us do. But do we mean that we believe our plans are expected to come to pass, or do we think that it's just wishful thinking? Do we think it's just wishful thinking? No, I hope it doesn't rain today. I have no control. I wish it doesn't rain today. I don't know. It might. Did you see the clouds out there? Could be. Oh, in Hawaii, it was so neat. It only rained at night while we were there. And unfortunately, one time I parked the car under this tree with all kinds of sticky stuff, and it washed all onto the car. But it only rained at night. The weather never interfered with any of our activities. Hoping it doesn't rain is nothing more than wishful thinking. Is a Christian's hope more wishful thinking in the face of what can't be controlled? Is a Christian's hope desiring for what is extremely unlikely in your life as you sit there, as you contemplate, having gone through the festivals? Is your hope wishful thinking or in something that is tangible and real, something yet to come? The world may say, I hope we'll all learn to get along together, where we'll have class, where class hostility, social conflict, and financial exploitation will be a thing of the past. That's wishful thinking in today's society, because that's not going to happen. I can guarantee that. That will not happen. Christian hope is not naive, based on idealism. It's not founded without proof. And it's not pining for things that just can't take place. Christian hope, what lies within us, what motivates us, what moves us, is real, solid, and is an attribute of being a Christian in Christian character. Well, we're going to explore the question of what is biblical hope to gain a better understanding, a deeper understanding of our Christian calling and the journey that we're on. Let's start in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is a passage of God's Word that focuses on love, true love. Not like the Princess Bride, true love. This couple is in true love. And it's not true love like reality programming, which is pure lust. Let's focus on true love, love from the heart, love toward all others. That's where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians 13, considered the love chapter. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. That's quite an attribute to have. That's quite a gift from God, isn't it? Speaking with tongues of men and angels, having the ability to speak with every language, and including that with the angelic realm. But have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbals. I am nothing. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I understand it all, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. How are you doing on all these? You just came from the Feast of Tabernacles, where you were the example to the world of what this means. How are you doing? Don't answer. It's really a private question to yourself. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Notice, hope isn't the main focus of this passage. Hope is intertwined with faith and love. There's a sort of a progression of sorts. Let's think about this for a second. As we develop faith in God, God calls us. He gives us His Spirit. He opens our minds to His way of life. We develop a faith in God, the sovereign of the universe, the Holy One who created everything, who has the power to do every and anything. We develop faith in Him. We listen to what He says. We develop hope in what He says because He's got the power to make that hope happen. And from that trust, from that faith, we have hope. And then hope is put into action. We learn to love as God loved, as Christ loved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave Jesus Christ to us. Jesus Christ so loved us while we were yet sinners. While we were still in our sins, He died for us. I dare say, none of us are there yet. None of us are there yet. So we're at the hope stage. We're at the hope stage. We have faith and we learn to hope for all things that God has put into His Bible. Along with faith and love, hope is an enduring virtue of Christian life. Now, some people mix faith and hope together, claiming that they're interchangeable. And while the concepts are similar, they actually aren't. According to the American Heritage and Merriam-Webster dictionaries, faith is confident belief or trust in, as in trusting in God. It's a conviction, a complete trust, confident in another power or entity. It's different than hope. Hope is a desire with confident expectation. Hope is a desire with confident expectation, a desire accompanied by the expectation of fulfillment, one that gives the promise for the future that that future will be fulfilled. We just spent 8 days at the Feast of Tabernacles, experiencing the millennium, going into the last great day, and all the hope of what that means is real. It's not wishful. It is real to us. Just as it was real to Mr. Bosshart, it is real to you and I today. Mr. Bosshart's next thought, his next realization, is going to be in the kingdom. Ours is still here. Ours is still the job we have to do, is to grow and to change. We believe God and His Word. We also have hope of tomorrow, that what we see around us, what we're experiencing, isn't all there is. That there is something better. There is a glorious future coming. God's kingdom is what we hope for, what we long for, what we desire with expectation. It's real. It's not wish. It's real. We look for the fulfillment of God's word in our lives. Trusting Him, not having a wish in Him, but trusting Him, having faith in Him that He has the power to bring about His plan in our life. One theologian wrote, hope is the future certainty grounded in the present reality. I think he was wanting to be clever with his words, but it's very true. Our hope is certain for tomorrow because we understand the reality today. I want to take a look at some scriptures that point out our hope in the time I have, our expectation of fulfillment in our lives. First, let's note that hope is a firm assurance, Romans 8, is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear or even unknown. So Romans 8, please. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 18. Because as we consider hope and go through trials and difficulties, as we consider what we see in vision, hope really is vision. Understanding what is tomorrow. I don't know where I was going with that thought. I was going to be so clever. Never mind. Romans 8, verse 18. It's always safe to go back to Scripture. Verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." There is a peace that comes because we know the end of the story. You know, sometimes I would grab a novel or some sort of a book, maybe even nonfiction. I want to know the end of the story. How did this work? And I'll go to the back of the book. And you're at the back of the book. If you read the back of the book, then as you read through the whole thing, you have hope. This character is going to survive. This situation is going to morph into something that's supposed to work. We have all been to the back of the book in that regard. We know the end of the story. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's hope. That is hope. Verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." This world is suffering because it doesn't know God. It has rejected God. It's not doing things God's way. It groans and labors until now. "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." We too suffer. But we have hope in tomorrow. "For we're saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what you see?" If you see it, well, there it is. It's right there. It's right there. I'll just go right over there. We don't see the end of our hope. We don't see it yet. "But if we hope," verse 25, "but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Desire with expectation. Hope produces strength to go through trials and difficulties, not seeing things, but knowing that there is an end, a conclusion to our trials, helps us through those trials, and we know that there is something better coming. Hope produces action. Hope produces action. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Something you realize. Something that's real to you. "For the evidence of things not seen." We talk about the kingdom of God. We talk about the millennium. We talk about the return of Jesus Christ. Those haven't happened yet. But we have the hope, the desire of expectation of fulfillment that they will happen. We know that those things are and coming, are and will be coming. Verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is according to faith." Warned of things not yet seen. How long did he bang away at building an ark? I'll throw that out there. Who knows? How long did he build the ark? 120 years. 120 years. Day one. Got to get some wood. I need X amount of gopher wood. What are you building? An ark. I could almost hear Bill Cosby doing his routine. An ark? What's an ark? Well, I'm going to collect all the animals in the world are going to come to me, and we're going to put them in the ark. We're going to save the world, and you're going to die. How long can you tread water? 120 years. Imagine day, year 60. "Hey, Noah, how's it coming?" No water, no rain, no clouds. He was warned that it was coming. But for 120 years, how long do we suffer before we go to God and say, "I give up"? Is it a day? Is it a year? Is it a month? He went 120 years without seeing something that was going to take place. And he trusted God, and he had hope of the rescue. He trusted God because God could save him. God could bring about the flood. And he had hope in God because he was the rescuer. evidence of things not seen. Noah believed and had faith and held the hope of God's rescue in mind as he worked and physical labor, had his family working, building. No animals there. I can imagine the animals weren't due for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. No animals yet. Where'd they come from? Noah had faith in God and hope in his rescue. Hope is connected to faith. We can look to an expected future, hope for tomorrow because of our faith in the living God. Romans 12, please. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Now here's the whole thing. Be kind, verse 10. Verse 9, let's back up. I love the title if you see that in your version. It says, behave like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Cling. Cleave to. Hang on to. Wrap your arms around like a koala bear around a tree. Just hang on. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. When we go through a trial, correction. Let me back up. When I go through a trial, I know there's hope tomorrow, and I rejoice not for what I'm going through, because there's usually a lesson or two or three or ten that I have to learn, but I rejoice that I know that there is a different tomorrow. I know that there is a hope that God has given to us. We rejoice in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. How long did Noah... Yeah, one time I had Noah going up Mount Sinai and Moses building the ark. It was a very embarrassing time. How long did Noah struggle with the idea of building an ark? How about at the 10th year? He's still building the ark. When did he have difficulty? Did he ever fail? We don't know. It doesn't say. But he built it. And he built it according to Scripture. Faith in God and hope for his rescue. Romans 15, 13, please. Now may the God of hope... let's just stop there. May the God of hope... You see, our Father doesn't leave us without hope. God gives us hope. He opens our minds to His plan. He gives us His Spirit. And He is the God of hope. He wants us to know and know that we know that there is a tomorrow. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is an understanding that the future is real, that we believe that the future is real, and we have faith in that hope of tomorrow. We have faith in God that He can bring about His plan for the future. Hope also produces joy and peace in those who are called to God, called by God through His Holy Spirit. Hope really is a spiritual vision. Isn't it? It says, without vision, my people perish. Hope is our vision. We see beyond the physical and into the plan of God. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. You know, ever since I left the islands, I've been thirsty. I made the mistake of chatting with a local, and I said, well, back in the States, and he just looked at me, and I said, oh, that's right, this is a state. Back in the mainland, I knew I was going to do that, and I told myself, don't do that, so I promptly focused on it, and I did it. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. You know, sometimes we think the world is getting away with things, getting ahead, having it better. All we need to do maybe is follow their footsteps. For surely there is a hereafter, verse 18, and your hope will not be cut off. There is a hereafter. There is a time when you're going to have to give an account for your life. There's going to be a time when they're going to have to give an account for their life. And they'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I always thought that action, that wailing and gnashing of teeth, isn't going to be because of anger. It's going to be because of frustration of what they did during their lives. They're going to recognize the things they said, the things they did, and they are just going to be crushed when they realize what they should have done and what they did. Hope keeps us focused not on the here and now, but on the then to come and the thereafter. Without the hope of tomorrow, without hope in Jesus Christ and God's plan to bring us to His kingdom, it's a free-for-all, folks. There's nothing really to live for. If this is all there is, well, it's not. It's not. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go back there. 1 Corinthians 15. I dare say we will... I have no clock up here, so I don't know. But I think you've had 8 days, and I may cut it short today. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, i.e. paid the penalty for your sins, right? If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise. We're false witnesses. We're liars, saying that He rose, if indeed He didn't. More importantly, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful. If Christ didn't rise, there is no hope. If He did not die and was resurrected by the Father after 3 days, if He did not pay the penalty for our sins, we're miserable people, we just don't know it. But now, verse 20, now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. There is an answer. Christ is risen. And we do have hope. Without hope of God's plan, we're miserable, we're empty. Is that all there is? It's kind of like that song, is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's keep on dancing. And I forget the words after that. It was a dumb song. I just remember that part. Because if that's all there is, let's keep dancing. I like to dance, but I don't want to dance forever. Is that all there is? The pursuit of money, power, pleasure, toys, experiences, all conclude when we die. If there's nothing more than that, we are empty. We are empty. But God intervenes in our lives. He opens our eyes, gives us His Spirit, gives us hope. He is the God of hope and a reason to live, and a reason to live a different life, a righteous life, because we have hope. Ephesians 2, please. Ephesians 2. I'm kind of I'm putting together all the things you might have heard at the feast. All the messages together, because they all lead to hope. The messages you should have heard of were all of hope. The hope of tomorrow. The hope of God's Spirit in you for tomorrow. Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promises, having no hope and without God in the world. God opened my mind at age 14. I don't remember a personal philosophy before then. I don't know what it's like not to have the knowledge of God. I don't know what it's like not to know that there is a tomorrow. There are many here who do, who were called later, who had a whole life wondering, why do I exist? Remember, that used to be the quintessential question in the Feast of Tabernacles. Why are we here? And I would sit there saying, because I'm not all there. But why are we here? That was always the question to be answered. Well, from age 14, I knew. Age 14 to 18 is a struggle for me. We won't go into that. But age 14, my mind was open. I never knew what it was like not to know that there was hope for tomorrow. But some of you do. Some of you do. Having no hope and without God in the world. Back up just a second here for Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore, it's in the same page. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I do that for the church. I do that for our congregations. I'm just thrilled with our brothers and sisters and being part of the family. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. He didn't call you without hope. He didn't call you without a reason. He didn't call you without a plan. That you may know the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places or in the heavenly realm. We went from hopelessness without God to having hope in God's kingdom. The hope of our calling. That's what He gave us when He opened our minds. Titus 1. Just a few scriptures back. Titus 1. Verse 1. Yeah, verse 1. Paul, he always gave a preamble here as his introduction. Except in one book. That'll be a test. Which one was that? Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Hope of eternal life. God, who cannot lie, made that promise. Paul is pointing out when he writes Titus that the hope of life is tomorrow. The hope is eternal life. It's part of our calling. Hope of tomorrow is part of our tomorrow. The hope of tomorrow. Okay. In a simple scripture, we read that there is something else I want to get. 1 Timothy 1, again in the preamble. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. He sacrificed Himself. He gave His life for us. Endured an incredible death so that we might have hope. That our calling might have meaning. He lived a perfect life. He took on Himself our sins. He provided a way for us to be forgiven and then become the first. He was the firstborn of many into the kingdom of God. We now have hope, the future, that we will enter that kingdom because He made the promise that we would. Because of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our hope. We know we have hope of tomorrow because of Jesus Christ. Because of His sacrifice, because we now think and act differently. We know we not must give we must now give account for our example to the world. Titus 2. Let's go to Titus 2 first. I had a different thought. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We must set the example. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The blessed hope, part of the calling that we have, who gave himself for us that we might redeem, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. He was giving instructions to Titus. But these are the things we should speak about, the hope that lies within us. We change from the inside out. Physically, we're going to change from the outside in, and that's just basic Genesis. I saw some old photographs of myself when I was a little tyke. I've changed. The outside. We change from the inside, spiritually. We change who we are on the inside, spiritually. People see the outside, and they see God's Spirit resident in us. We are different. We are different people. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. This scripture should be part of your memory list, 1 Peter 3:15, because it's a warning, it's a guide, it's a truism for all of us. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Set apart means make it part of you, make it so richly part of you. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that lies in you. That is in you. With meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. They will be ashamed later. But we're to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Our example is going to say we're different. The world wants to go this way. The world, as an example in Isaiah 59, it says, this is the way to peace, and their way to peace is a crooked path. And there is no peace. We don't follow that. We follow Jesus Christ, so we set a different example. And the world is going this way, and they're having difficulties going, hey, bud, why are you happy? Why are you different? Why do you do that? We're to be ready to give an answer for that hope that lies within us because it's visible to the world around us. We need to be ready to answer the questions about what we believe and why we believe. And we explain those experiences, the dreams and desires that motivate us, the desire for expected accomplishment that guide our lives. You'll remember in Romans 10 it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith and hope are so intertwined that I feel like we can safely say, hope also comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We gain hope of our future by hearing the word of God, by sharing the word of God, by talking with one another about God's word and how his life in us has changed us. We have a desire with confident expectation of a better tomorrow. What's driving us toward God's kingdom? Romans 5, please. When we talk about rocky times and difficult times, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, Romans 5, verse 1, I'll let you catch. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hate to say it, but sometimes the trials we go through bring a stronger reference, a stronger image, a stronger focus on the hope that is in tomorrow. God allows us to persevere through trials and then to endure trials and develop character in us, and then that character develops hope. For the rocky times we face, for those days when it seems better to crawl under the blanket and say, go away, we read God's word and look for inspiration that leads us to hope. Hope in God, hope in Jesus Christ, and hope in our assured future. Well, this is curious. I have Romans 55:4. I don't think that's possible. I was a little tired writing some notes last night. We got in at midnight from Hawaii, and the three-hour difference caught up. I'm assuming it's Romans 5, and if it's not, we won't worry about it. Well, I'm right there. Never mind. What we read in the Bible, what we gather from conversations from one another, strengthens us and encourages us and builds hope, that desire of expectation. That's what I meant by Romans 5, verse 4. See, it was in the middle of the conversation we just had. When we started today, the question was, so now what? So now what? We know and have faith in God and His power. That's trust and faith. That He can and does bring about His word. He says it, it will happen. He predicts things, correction, He prophesies things to occur because He knows He can bring them about. Man predicts and hopes and or has wishful thinking. We know God and have faith in His power. He can do as He says He will do. We have hope. Hope leads to action. So now what? Now what? What should we be doing? Isaiah 55. I knew I'd get to Isaiah someday. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Why? I want you to think about this. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your way, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't see as God sees. We don't know as God knows. We don't understand as God understands. We need to put our hope into action, to learn from God's word what we need to be doing, how we need to be changing, who we need to be becoming. Verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. This is your opportunity. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You are called today. You have a hope of tomorrow. That hope is action. Action means that we need to seek God today. We need to pour our hearts and minds into study of God's Word. We must put our hope into action. We need to have that vision. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, you knew I was going to get here. I knew I was going to get here. I had the notes. Hebrews 11, verse 23. I love the story of Moses. Not the guy who built the ark. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. The king commanded all those boys to be killed because he feared the prophecy. The prophecy that was going to take place because God said it would. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He had vision. He had hope. He lived a life based on the hope that was in him. Because he knew there was something better than the love and the joy and the accolades of being a general in Pharaoh's army. I was right here. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had faith that there was something bigger than himself. He had faith in God. He had hope of the future. Moses understood there was more than the here and now. He lived as if his tomorrow was real, and that tomorrow was a real, tangible event yet to take place. He had a desire. He had a desire of expectation for tomorrow. Verse 13. 11, verse 13. talking about all those in the chapter of faith chapter of all these individuals who are listed here, who lived a wonderful life, who lived in faith of God, in hope, living hope. These all died in faith. Mr. Balsart died in faith. So many others died in faith. Not having received the promise, nobody's in God's kingdom yet, but having seen them afar off, they had hope. They had a vision. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. All these exercised faith because they had trust in God and they had hope and a desire with expectation for the future. God has provided us with His Word. He provided us with His Sabbath day. He provided us with the holy days. He provided us with one another that we might continue in faith, in the faith of our calling, that we might be strong in action, sharing the hope that lies within us. Based on the vision, the hope of our calling, we have the desired expectation of our future, and that's in God's kingdom. It's a pleasure to be back.